The one item on our list is cannabis.
Smallest.
Let's see how long one item takes. All right, who's introducing? Try one.
I can jump in if it's okay with everyone.
Yeah.
Good. Just give you a little background. So as everyone recalls, last year the legislature, to really most people's surprise, adopted or amended existing hemp law to allow edible cannabinoid, the gummies, and some THC drinks, that sort of thing. We thought there was a lot of confusion. I mean, most people learned about it on July 1 when it went into effect, not knowing what this means for local governments. I mean, we really didn't have a heads up on that at all. And so there was a lot of scrambling to figure out what to do. If you recall, in August, the council adopted a moratorium just because of that. We don't know what we're supposed to be doing here or what's going on, what our role is as a regulator. And so that's been in place. We've been looking at the law. You know, it was becoming clear as the 2023 legislature was working that there was likely to be something. I've never seen a bill go through so many different committees, but a large bill went through a lot of different committees with the hope that, I guess, perhaps naively, thought that they would add some clarity to what to do with these THC edibles, you know, that have been legal, that are out there. And what ended up happening was the adoption of a 320-page bill that was incredibly comprehensive, but that doesn't kind of reach back at all. It was very forward-looking. And so let me just briefly talk about where we're at as far as what's in that new law. So we have, obviously, I mean, everyone knows this, legalization of marijuana. It doesn't happen overnight, but the state stepped up by creating this new Office of Cannabis Management. This is the office that's supposed to be the one-stop shop, essentially, for all things cannabis. They are going to be involved in setting up testing and developing and drafting rules regarding cannabis. They're going to be issuing licenses. So they really have this kind of overall role that they're playing with cannabis. Part of that, the legislation creates 16 different types of cannabis licenses. So there's a long list of different types of licenses that this office that just started on July 1, supposedly, is going to be gearing up to develop and adopt, or adopt procedures for, and then intake applications and issue those licenses. Again, they didn't really address at all the existing, or all they did with respect to the what I call THC edibles, the ones that are legal now, is saying that they get to keep selling. I mean, I guess their thought was, if you're already selling, you get to keep selling, or I guess if you want to start selling, you can, but you have to register by October. There's a date in October that they have to register by with Department of Health in order to keep selling these. And then eventually that law that they amended last year is going to sunset. That law goes away, and then everything gets rolled into this new law. And so these edible cannabinoids under the current law become lower potency hemp edibles under the new law. And then that does require a license from the state. And then, of course, the big thing that we as local governments were looking at as this bill was progressing was what role, if any, is local government going to play in this? A lot of people were advocating for roles similar to tobacco or liquor, saying that we should be the licensing authority. Yes, state have rules, obviously, and maybe even like liquor have some role in licensing, but it should be a local license. The legislature chose not to do that. Instead, they created this registration role that local governments play. So the state will license. So the way generally it's supposed to work is that local governments have some authority, which I'll talk about, to do zoning and things like that. But the way the licensing is supposed to work, they apply to the state, and then the state is supposed to send an application to a local government to review and provide comments on it. And then there's a registration role that they can't actually begin selling in your city unless they register with you. And assuming the city is going to want to go through a registration process, most cities of any size are going to do that. I mean, there's going to be plenty of little local governments that aren't going to do this because it involves having to do compliance checks and things like that. But a city like yours will do the registration. They have to come in and be registered. You do the compliance checks, that sort of thing. So you have this registration process that will be set up. So it's licensed, right? But it's license and registration. You're the registrar, they're the licensee. So they issue the license, you have this registration process. And part of what you can do as a city moving forward, and we're going to have some time here, because this office, by the time they get up and running, they develop the rules, they get ready to start issuing licenses. My crystal ball is, I'd be shocked if they're ready by January 1, 2025. They say they're going to be before that, but I'd really be surprised if they're up and running. You think of all the things that this office has to do between now and then, I again, state government usually doesn't work that fast, but we'll see how it goes. But between now and then, the city will, and I'll talk a little bit more about this in a second, but you will have some decisions that you can make. Like, for instance, the moratorium that we'll talk about tonight. That's one of the things that the legislature specifically gave you the authority to do. Place a moratorium on cannabis businesses, which are the licensed business, retail businesses, and there's some growers in there as well. But these things that are labeled cannabis businesses, which aren't all 16 of the types of businesses, but there's a number of the retail ones in there. You can place a moratorium on that until January 1, 2025, to give you this opportunity to wait and see how things develop at the state level. You have the authority to do the registration that I talked about. You can collect a registration fee. If you think they violated something locally, you can suspend that registration, but you have a little bit of that big brother, that OCM watching over you. You have to let them know, and they can override you if they think that you suspended a registration inappropriately. You can review and comment on proposed licenses, as I mentioned. They'll submit it to you, and you get to review and comment. I view that mostly as, they want to put it here, that's not allowed under our zoning ordinance. You know, that's not an area where we allow that kind of retail business. So that's just one example. You are required to do local compliance checks. Here's the interesting one. Both of underage, which we're all familiar with, and the chief certainly knows about, for tobacco and liquor. And so there's still the 21 underage sales for this. So send in a younger person and see if they sell. But operational inspections as well. Are they selling the right types of product? Are they, you know, all these... Which, you know, of course, all of us in local government are like, well, how are we supposed to know how to do an operational inspection on a cannabis shop? That doesn't, you know, so that's part of what that OCM is supposed to come up with, is procedures, checklists, that sort of thing. So when you do these compliance checks, they're supposed to have that to help guide law enforcement in conducting these operational compliance inspections. One thing is, cities do have the ability to put a cap on the number of the cannabis businesses that it can occur in your community. That cap, and again, I'm working a little bit from memory here, so this may not be 100%, but my memory is the lower potency hemp edibles, that they're not going to be subject to that cap. So, they really are viewing that as kind of no big deal. I mean, yes, there's a licensing, but it's not subject to the same kind of cap that a full sort of dispensary would be. So those you potentially could have at the gas stations and the grocery stores and the tobacco shops and the coffee shops and that sort of thing, those lower potency products. But with the more heavy duty cannabis, that's something you can put a cap on based on population, one for 12,500. Now there's some debate that's going on. Our initial take on it is that you have to have one for every. So if you're 12,700, we thought you needed two. Some are arguing you only need one up to that upper, that 25,000. We'll wait and see. I think the rules will probably add some clarity on that, but for sure you need to have one. So we'll see if you're a one or a two, or I haven't checked your population recently, but you're over 25, aren't you? Or
23.
Okay.
Then it go down too.
Okay. So the question is, yeah, are you one or are you two? You know, because you're over that 12,500. So we'll get more clarity on that. The league gave a presentation on this and said the intent was just one up to the 25,000. So we'll see how that plays out. So that's something you can do to limit the number of cannabis stores in your area. You can also limit the hours of operation. The statutory hours are pretty lengthy. I mean, they go to 2 o'clock in the morning. So I mean, it's a lot of a lot of opportunities to buy a product under the law, but you can reduce it down quite a bit. And I lay out some of that in a PowerPoint that's on your desk. But I think you can drop it down to 9 o'clock at night and prohibit sales on Sunday. So that's something that you'll be looking at eventually. Again, this is not something you have to deal with right now. We're going to have more than a year for you to consider that and come up with an ordinance, give us direction on what you would like to see for regulations on that. It does talk about the city being able to enforce other ordinances like nuisance regulations. I guess one of the concerns of this from other states is that it can have a pretty horrendous smell if they're growing in buildings and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But we had one small city that had a lot of open large buildings in their city that they were really concerned about them turning into grow operations. A friend of mine from Michigan says there's a small city in Michigan that you can't walk anywhere in the city without this just really strong smell of marijuana. I don't know what growing marijuana smells like, but apparently it has a strong smell. there's some talk about there's cannabis event organizers needing to have the city's consent before they conduct an event. You actually have the ability to seek some grants from the state, the city. You can have your own municipal cannabis store if you want. You have the ability to get in the business, just like, you know, cities can get in the liquor business. So you can.
So who did that? Somebody did that already, didn't they?
Well,
Richfield.
I'm sure they could be angling for it, but so they can't do it quite yet because the license isn't available.
They're gonna have a Hoosh Muni, huh?
I'm not sure. We represent them, but I haven't been involved in any of that stuff, so I'm not sure where they're at.
They should have a good hemp show
too. And there's some question. It's not an exclusive. You know, if a city gets involved in liquor, it's an exclusive store. But that's not true for this. But of course, you can put a limit on how many you get. So do you get one of those? You know, are you using up one of the one or two that a city may have? So there's a lot of questions about how timing is going to work and who's going to get it, that sort of thing.
There's not clarity if there was a municipal one, if that would take one of the licenses away? Or
well, it would take.
Oh, it would. Okay, yeah. All right. Good.
It's just the angle.
The timing, like, yeah, who can get in there first.
If a city only has one, does the city get it? Gotcha. Or does it, you know, how are they going to prioritize and rank who gets it? And I've heard different thoughts on that about ranking, but I haven't gotten too far into that because, frankly, I'm not going to be applying.
So I got a question on an event. What does that look like?
There's a definition of that, a cannabis organizer event. I'm not entirely sure.
There was one, I think, last year for the low potency ones. It was essentially like a big concert, but instead of serving alcohol, they had like THC seltzers. And I think that was in Minneapolis last year. Somewhere.
That could be, yeah. But the idea is that yes, product is going to be available and sold at these events or showcased somehow. But
I remember from like the lobbying, it was a lot of like concert promoters were looking at that license. Mm-hmm.
Could that be like a nightclub as well? Do you know?
I think it has to be a temporary thing. Okay. So if it was a nightclub,
it really is meant to be an event, I guess. And the reality is I haven't memorized 320 pages. But a lot of these issues are going to come to the forefront, but we'll definitely have opportunity to look at that and try to drill down. Like I said, when I gave this presentation a month ago, you know, some of what we're struggling with right now will probably be obvious or clear, you know, after people have talked about them for a year. But for now, we're still kind of trying to grapple with a lot of this stuff. You do get some aid if based on the number of stores that you have. So there is an opportunity to get a share of the tax that the state imposes.
I had a question about that. It looked like the first round of aid would be calculated based on the number of licenses before, you know, the maximum moratorium ended, right? So it's like if you were a city that chose to do the full moratorium length, other cities would get more of, because it's like a ratio basis on how many licenses you have.
Right, compared to others.
Right. So and essentially it's almost like, I doubt they meant it this way, but it's like an incentive to be in there right away, because then you get a bigger bunch of the pie versus later down the road when there's more of them. Is that an accurate
assumption? I think potentially. And in fact, you're just reminding me back to that cap that I mentioned about. There's also a countywide max. So if it's not a cap necessarily, but if there's an equivalent of one per 12,500 within the county and you don't have one in your city, you don't have to allow one. So it gets up to a certain point of density within the county. Then if, you know, some small counties, I think will definitely hit that, you know, probably the largest city has two or three that probably uses up the max for the entire county population. So a lot of these small communities can probably say, no, there's some question about like in this county, how many is Minneapolis going to have? But, you know, if they don't put a cap on it, they encourage it, and they're going after that aid. You know, maybe they use it up to a point where Crystal doesn't need to allow it if they don't. And we're going to have to wait and see how that all kind of plays out. I think the reality is, though, not all these things are going to start day one. So, I mean, some of these are going to happen, and then they're going to be there. And you're not going to close them down, you know, even if you hit that county max. See what I mean? You wouldn't have to allow any more, but... And then the other part of the bill, you probably saw liquor stores. There was some question with exclusive liquor stores in the state had a list of things they can sell that weren't alcohol, and cannabis wasn't on that, or THC wasn't on that. And so even though a lot of liquor stores were selling them, you would be told you're not supposed to, no one really enforced it. But they would make the legislature made it clear that they could sell THC products as of June 1. So you're starting to see them pop up all over the place. And then the rulemaking process. So obviously that's kind of a sketchy overview of the bill from a local government perspective. But the rest of the memo, I won't go through in great detail, but I would like to talk about the shorter term issues, because a lot of what I just talked about are longer term things, things you need to consider over the next year plus to figure out what kind of, you know, do you want to put the cap in place? Do you want to limit hours? You know, those sorts of things. The registration process, we have to get that up and running, what that's going to look like. Again, we're waiting on the state to develop models on a lot of this stuff. So hopefully they'll get that together and get it to us in enough time so we can do something with it. Again, I'm a bit skeptical on that. I think the whole idea of working with local government, coming up with model ordinances and checklists and things would have to be pretty far down on the list of to-dos for a brand new agency that is responsible for all this. But you know, hopefully I'm wrong and they get this stuff done and they get it out. But in the meantime, there are some shorter term issues to be considered. One is, you know, your current moratorium expires on August 16th. So we have a month to figure out what to do here, if anything. And that what to do is really in this period with those THC edibles. And so what you could look at is, one, the interim ordinance, which I do recommend that you do, because there is all this uncertainty. You know, a lot of the law has yet to be written as far as the rules and procedures and all that. So I think until that happens, I think the moratorium really does make sense from a legal perspective. Obviously, your call as policymakers. I suppose some could argue, why do we need it? Because after all, the state isn't issuing licenses yet. So why do we care? But I really do think it makes sense to put it in place just so you have a base from which you can do this work and develop something in your timeline, rather than all of a sudden the state's ready to license and we're not ready yet. Now, keep in mind, though, that moratorium will not apply to THC edibles. So once your moratorium goes off, then those THC edibles become fair play. So that's one of the other issues. Do you want to do short-term regulations on THC edibles, try to get something adopted here before the moratorium comes up, which would be a rush? And the other reality of that is the state will be picking up the licensing of these things. So any licensing ordinance you would put in place would essentially be expiring when the state starts licensing them. You can't license when they're licensing the same product. So if you were to adopt licensing regulations, they would be pretty short-lived. Now, that said, one of my cities wants to do it. So
when the state takes over the licensing process, do we still do the compliance checks?
Yeah, as part of, instead of licensor, that you have a registration.
Okay.
So it's license-like. So you do all the work.
We do all the
work. You just don't issue the license.
Okay. But we can't do registration before they start doing license.
Right.
So, yeah. Like, we couldn't do an interim registration that holds over.
Not that holds over. Okay. Yeah, you can do licensing between now and the end of next year, but that's about it. There's some question because the edibles really aren't regulated the same way as the other products. What does that leave for local governments as far as can you limit the number? Or do you need to have 15, 20, 30 of these THC edibles stores, you know, every gas station, smoke shop, that sort of thing? Or can you limit the number of that? It's not clear. It's not subject to the cap that I was talking about. So can you do that? I mean, hopefully the rules will provide some clarity on that, but I don't know.
That's what it's like in Minnetonka. I mean, you go to any grocery store there, they're, you know, as long as you're 21, you can buy.
Oh, in the grocery store?
Yeah. So, and likewise with all the other, you know, mom and pop shop.
And some cities right out of the gate didn't adopt a moratorium. They just let it go.
Yep.
So the only thing that would fall under that cap is the high potency stuff?
Yeah, the other cannabis business.
Okay. But it's all going to be licensed?
Yes.
So no matter low potency, THC, yes. Edibles. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
And the beverages, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. In my opinion, I think they have to get a license if they're selling anywhere from that lower potency THC all the way up to the heavy duty.
But not until October.
No, they can keep selling the THC edibles. They just have to register in October.
Right now, it's kind of wild, wild west.
Yes, it has been
last year. All right, so just,
Yeah, you walk into stores that, you know, I've been in stores and they're selling 20 milligram stuff and 40 milligram stuff. I had one person tell me, hey, you're going to want to clear a weekend if you take one of these. No, thank you. You know, so, I mean, they're clearly, this is not the low potency stuff. Yeah. But, and it's still kind of all over the place. I think some are starting to settle in a little bit, but if they don't register by October, then they're supposed to stop selling. But they can keep going. But then when the state takes over licensing, that's where right now the thought is any licensing you would put in place would fade off when the state picks it up. So you're off, they're on.
And when you say state picks it up, do you mean the interim Department of Health licensing in October, or do you mean Office of Cannabis?
I'm sorry, the OCM license.
Okay,
yeah.
So if we were to do something interim now, that would hold through when they have to register with the Department of Health in October as kind of an interim measure.
Yeah, it would still go through that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see that registration as undermining your ability to. I mean, that's just a registration.
So the trigger for our anything we do falling off would be OCM starting to license.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think then you'd be in conflict with the state licensing. So then you would have to pay the hog.
Go ahead, John.
So the licensing we would do, would it be similar to like our tobacco licensing? Would it be similar process?
And yeah.
We just have to make sure that they know that they need to do that in order to be able to sell that in their particular business, correct?
Right. Yeah. So before the grocery store or whatever started selling.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's up to you. I mean, some communities, frankly, the thought is, we're not going to get into that. We'll just deal with the registration when that gets up to speed and running. Like I said, one of my cities is, we want to start doing it now. So it's.
Well, they have to, verify age, right? So, I mean, why wouldn't we get involved? Because we want to make sure that they're just not selling to everybody, right? Correct? I mean, they have to verify that they're 21.
Well, are we even doing compliance checks right now?
No one's doing
it.
Yeah, we can't sell it in Crystal.
Well, supposedly the 30 employees of the pharmacy, whatever office is doing it, they're not.
Yeah, it's like they're checking like one in every 200 things or something.
Yeah, so it is a bit of a wild.
I think one of the things that's important to remember is when the licensing happens, now we have a list and we know who is actually operating. Mm-hmm. Until that time, we don't have a clue who's operating. Yeah. We don't necessarily know what's going on in Crystal because we've been in moratorium. But come, is it October?
August.
So. So we're going to have to, start, if we do the registration, we're going to at least know where it's happening within our community.
Yeah. So your moratorium drops off August 16th. And you're not starting registration under the new law until the state is up and running and starts issuing licenses. So that registration process goes along with that licensing, but that won't be until the end of 2024, beginning of 2025. So the question is, what do you want to do between August 16th? And when the state starts licensing.
We could do a registration just for the low potency, right?
You could do a license. Yeah. We talked about registration licensing. I think licensing is the better way to go if you want to do something between August 16th and there. But just understanding then that phase off that goes away.
But if we don't, we can't do another moratorium, right? Yeah. So it's either we do some sort of regulation or we just kind of like let it do whatever.
So let me take my no back. You can't do a moratorium to say no anymore. I was thinking though, and I honestly didn't talk to Adam and try to work out dates on this, but if you can't get it done between, you know, by August 16th, I personally think you could adopt it as an interim ordinance because you're allowing it. It's a different kind of thing. You're actually allowing it under the interim ordinance. So for instance, say your second reading won't come until August, I'm making this up, 28th or something. I think you probably could adopt it as a moratorium and then as an interim ordinance, because an interim ordinance doesn't have to be you can't do it. It can just be, here are temporary regulations. And then you adopt the same ordinance at the second reading on the 20th. You know, so you see what I mean is, because I would really hate to have you have a gap of 2 weeks or 3 weeks, because a lot can happen potentially in 2 or 3 weeks.
So can you remind the council about a little bit more of the detail about the ordinance?
Yeah, thank you. So when we went through to update the charter this last go around, one thing that I advocated for in the council and the charter commission agreed to is to give you authority like a statutory city to adopt interim ordinances. And so that's written into your order, into your charter now, that allows you to adopt these temporary regulations on something, either as a moratorium or as temporary regulations, just with a single introduced, you adopt it that night. It's in effect, right? So you don't have to wait 2 weeks. And it's funny how, I didn't plan this, but the cannabis thing, that was our first out of the gate. It's like, well, I guess, right, here's an example. You know, honestly, when we were putting it in the charter, didn't have anything specific in mind, but then, you know, this happened. So I don't know why we couldn't do that if the timing doesn't work out to get two readings done before August 16th. So that's just a fallback of something to consider that if you folks do want to do something. So that's.
Oh, I was. I think I sent an email to you and Adam about this, but I sent a lot of things actually. But one of them was talking about, I think it's Delta 8, right? So that was the thing that kind of like was a loophole in some of the federal rules that people were selling at smoke shops before this all really started. And I know that in Crystal, there are smoke shops are certainly selling it or at least advertising it. And under the current, the new law that's coming, you know, advertisements for cannabinoids is very stringent, right? You can't have a big flashy leaf in your window anymore or things like that. Is that something that goes into effect August, October? When do those rules go into effect? Or do they have to wait until OCM? Or how is that all regulated?
You should have some control over that.
So my understanding is that comes in with the licensing. You know, because technically you can't be a cannabis business until you have a license. And so if you become licensed as a cannabis business, you're going to be subject to all those operational rules, and which then you as a city get to inspect and make sure they're complying with those operational rules. So I think there's still, we have a period of Wild West that's going to happen yet until the old stuff fades away and the new licensing comes into play.
What about Delta 8 though? Because that was never really, that's not in the low potency thing that they slipped in last year, right? But is it covered in this new one? Like, can smoke shops still sell Delta 8 stuff? Advertise for it without a license, without anything?
Yeah, I'm not 100% on that. My impression is that they have to be licensed, but I'm not, you know, because they really try to separate out hemp, because there's plenty of hemp folks that are just hemp and it doesn't have any of the hallucinogenic, you know, kind of buzz stuff a part of it. So, but I'm not 100% sure. But yes, I know what you're talking about under the farm bill. They allow
hemp derivative thing, right? Hemp derivative thing. Yeah. And, but I thought this mentioned some, this regulated some of the hemp stuff.
Yeah. I'd have to look at it.
Okay.
I just don't know off the top of my head. So, but then the other component I was talking about that you can consider is, again, between now, there's no doubt. Well, let me back up a little bit. The law expressly allows local governments to adopt time, place, and manner restrictions on this. That's a weird phrase in lawyer world, because it usually relates to restrictions on free speech. So why they talk about it in terms of cannabis regulation, I'm not quite sure, but we think it means zoning. Why they didn't say that, I'm not sure. But so we think it means zoning. So it seems pretty clear that you're not exempted from doing zoning. So over this moratorium period, if you adopt it, that's part of that. It's developing, hopefully, guidance by the state to develop some regulations on zoning. So that's one thing that you can do. But the question is, do you want to start doing that now? Do you want to put zoning in place now? So you're limiting where right now the THC, and I'm plunking around with a zoning ordinance right now that also talks about the cannabis businesses, understanding that we're going to have to amend it when we figure out what the state is going to come out. But the idea is, I don't want to be left in a gap. You know, if they start licensing and I'm right, and they didn't get the samples done until later. I wanted to have something in place that covers that. That's my thinking. So, and what I mean by that is identifying this is the kind of business and it can only occur in these zones in the city, just like any other sort of retail shop. It's limited to certain districts. And we've talked preliminarily about some of that early on, but so that's one thing to consider too. Short term, do you want to do either and or licensing or zoning in the short term? Because I think there's no doubt you're going to be doing registration and zoning long term, but do you want to try to cover this gap between now and then?
Just so if we do adopt the licensing in the interim period, I'm assuming we're going to have to come up with penalties for those that aren't complying. I mean, is that going to fall on the police as far as that too? I mean, I feel like we should maybe talk with Steph and those that are directly going to be involved too. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I just, to be clear, I'm not pushing you. I think yes, on the moratorium, I would encourage you to do that. This interim stuff, that's completely up to you. If you want to do it or not, you know, I just want to try to explain that's an option. But yes, it would be like any other licensing scheme. There'll be compliance checks.
So we would have to have all that in order by August if we were going to.
Right. Okay. Well, not, I mean, you wouldn't have to have client compliance checks by then, but you certainly would have the regulations adopted.
But and then the penalties laid out as well by then, or just saying we're going to. Do it.
Well, I'll just be very, very frank with you. This is going to come from a down deep honesty. There is no way that our police department has the resources at this time to get updated by August 1st. We just don't. This came very quickly to us. So I'm not saying that you can't. So the answer is yes. If you decide that you're going to have this regulation and have us, that means that yes, the police department would have to do the compliance checks. We would not be able to do the compliance checks though this year. I'll just tell you that right now. It would most likely go into next year. My staff still isn't trained on this because this is brand new. And I will say this too, we're the only state in this country that allows 2 pounds of marijuana inside of someone's home now. So people that are saying that, why aren't you just, this should be easy for everybody because other states do it. That is true. However, our state did not do it like any other state. And so there's many things in the new law that all of us are still trying to figure out that we need to do both from the law enforcement standpoint and from compliance check standpoint. And now this new, whatever they call it, Office of, right.
Although if I can just add, the interim regulation would just be on the low potency. So it wouldn't be an operational inspection.
Yeah.
It would be an underage sale.
It would just be the age.
Age thing. Yep. Compliance check. Yep.
Go ahead, Forrest.
Kind of related to not doing it the same way as other states. I think it was there's a point in here, but I didn't see it in the interim ordinance. I emailed both of you about this, but it seems like based off some articles that have come out, we would have, if we didn't want like people smoking in parks, we would have to say something. We'd have to pass an ordinance about that like now, because it come August, they would be able to.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. But then again, if we did say something, that's kind of what my question was, like, who's going to actually oversee those? Like, is the police department going to be ready to move on somebody violating those?
You would have to enact an ordinance, right? Along with, here's the issue. I'll just be frank with this too, is we have a county attorney right? Who has, and even the previous county attorney, who has not charged low-level marijuana crimes for 3 years, okay? They are not going to charge anyone if I go to a park and write a ticket for smoking marijuana in a park. Mm-hmm. They're not going to, I mean, however, that doesn't mean that you don't enact an ordinance and that my staff doesn't go to the call, right? If we get calls for service on it and be present and say, hey, we have an ordinance, you can't be in here, right? And then if we get flack, my concern is, and I'll just be frank with this too, I don't want my staff to come against a use of force deal when it comes to something that's legal now. I'm really concerned about that. I really don't want them to be in that predicament.
Yeah, go ahead, John. And I agree with that. I don't think that you should have to enforce that at all. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I don't really see, a situation where people are going to be, getting high in the park. Where they're getting high is on the freeway and they're driving around smoking because I'm behind them and it stinks really bad.
So and that's where we're concerned too.
Yeah. So that's a completely different thing. Obviously if there's, drinking involved and mm-hmm. driving with that. So, but I don't think, if you don't have something, use in public for smoking cigarettes, why have one for marijuana, which is now legal? I mean, it's been decriminalized. So why try and make it a criminal issue? So,
it's illegal. It's illegal to drink alcohol at a park.
Right.
I mean, I don't think this is such a stretch that whether it's enforced or not, it should be on the books.
Exactly. And like I said, you can do this and you certainly can have one. And I recommend you do. I'm just trying to tell you that we may not be able to do too much about it.
But I think you should look at it more like smoking cigarettes. I mean, you shouldn't have it. In that same vein, I mean, if you don't have something for smoking cigarettes in a park,
but I don't think you don't get high off nicotine.
Sure you do.
Well, I mean, no. Not
sure you do.
The same way.
Yeah. Yeah. You're addicted to nicotine.
I will say that's
different than
the we're already getting complaints of smoking, of people smoking marijuana, right? Of the smell of it, of you don't want that. I mean, you just don't. You don't want this to turn into I'll just be honest, walking downtown Las Vegas, I'm smelling marijuana every step I take. No. You don't want that in your community. So I do recommend enacting something, because when I say that we're not going to do anything, that's not, we are going to do something. I'm just trying to tell you that I'm not going to put my staff in the situation where it could become a potential use of force situation. Yeah. It doesn't mean we're not going to respond and say, hey, you can't do this in a city park, because we will do that.
So I would say 9 out of 10 times, Becker Park, when I'm in Becker Park, I'm smelling it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where we're at right now. You guys need to know that.
Mm-hmm. Is it the pickleball?
That's why you're having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the comments.
Hold on. And just on this public use, yes, you can adopt an ordinance to prohibit it. It's a petty misdemeanor. So it's not even technically a crime.
But it still should be on the books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't really put it on a sign if there's.
You can. We do now for alcohol. We have it on a sign for that you can't, right. Drink alcohol in a park. Mm-hmm. You can add can't smoke marijuana.
Yep. Excuse me, Mayor. I'm just Mayor, members of the council. One of the things that staff is discussing is that the city should be consistent, at least with the alcohol. If currently alcohol is prohibited by ordinance in the parks. And I think it would be as difficult as that is to enforce at times, the city should be consistent in treating cannabis safe. It's hard to say that they should be treated differently. I guess that if the council did not want to prohibit it from public spaces, not just parks, we should remove the alcohol restriction, be consistent, because that's that'd make more sense. So either way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've tried to be consistent between even tobacco and alcohol, and now we have this new new stuff coming in and it gets a pass on everything. I don't think that's right.
Troy, what's the difference between licensing and registration?
Nothing.
You can't do the first one. Yeah, it really is interesting. I mean, it's registration is license like, but you know, because you can suspend the registration, just like you could potentially revoke a license or suspend a license, but it's under this state oversight.
Mm-hmm.
And they can overrule you if you pull out, like I said earlier, you know, so it's, I think it was the legislature's attempt to realize that they were stepping on local governments here. And so they opened the door a little bit. They give you some role in this. And I think necessarily, because if it was just, you're going to do compliance checks and you don't have anything to say otherwise, I think a lot of cities are, we're not doing the compliance checks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, state, if you want this and you do it. So I think it was a way to try to assure that, give you enough incentive to be involved in it to do the compliance checks. But you can opt out of the compliance checks.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can't do the limitations and the hours and all that kind of stuff.
Go ahead, John.
But at least with the registration process, we would be able to enact those, you know, limitations on these businesses in terms of hours and whatnot. Even though we're not doing the compliance checks, they know the rules ahead of time. And that way, you know, once, you know, in order for them to be able to sell THC in our city, this is what you have to do, right?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, I don't know why you couldn't start. I haven't thought about that, but if you're putting a licensing scheme in place, could you limit the hours of the hours of these places? I guess we haven't talked about that, but I don't know why you couldn't.
Right.
You know? I mean, frankly, you're regulating in a vacuum. Because the state didn't say you can do this, didn't say you couldn't do it either. So, I mean, we're doing it under your police powers and your charter powers. So I don't know why you couldn't do that. And that's the comment I got back from my other city was like, well, we're going to be doing this anyway. So let's get started, you know, and just so it's consistent. Again, I'm not pushing you one way or the other. I'm just saying that's thought. So that would be something we could look at in a very short period of time.
Right.
You know, the other thing, and I'm not going to get into it because I think John's going to talk about it at length, but there are some setbacks that are in the statute mm-hmm. as well that you could adopt. So, which you could do as part of a local zoning ordinance now, too, and then have that rolled into your cannabis regulations from Nathan. So, bottom line is, I think at least what I'm looking for, if Adam doesn't mind me saying it this way, I think really looking for direction on the moratorium. For sure, on whether or not you want to move forward with that. It's already been drafted. And then the second issue is any direction on any of the other short-term stuff that we talk.
Anybody against a moratorium? Want to know more information about a moratorium?
Well, I don't know. We're going to be letting people sell it anyway. Why not get started?
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like there's so much more that... Yeah. Info that's coming that will Correct. Help inform how we're going to do all that. So I don't want to get ahead of Correct. State to this scenario. Yeah,
there's a couple scenarios. I mean, what he referred to on the let's get started part was just for the lower the gummies.
Just a little
the gummies.
I understand.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I personally would be in favor of a moratorium, but I'm not really super excited about doing the full allowable length for the moratorium. It's kind of a little bit of the aid piece for me. I don't want to end up in a situation where for some reason, I mean, and I used to work in state government, I know how slow things go there, but for some reason, maybe they get it together and it, you know, come February next year, they're starting to do licensing and then all that state aid, the formulas for the state aid go to other cities. And then when we start, we're kind of holding the bag a little bit more because of that. I mean, I'd rather like to maybe do, can we extend the moratorium? So if we do like a moratorium until March next year, and they're like, oh, wow, OCM is like, you know, flying a kite or something. Could we extend the moratorium further up to that maximum allowed in statute?
You
kind of phase it.
You could. Honestly, though, my recommendation, would be just to put it for the full term
on the ticket,
and then okay, because you can drop it anytime.
Yeah. Okay, so you can okay, yeah.
But I would hate to have you know have to go back through and do an extension. Not that that's the end of the world, but that way, if you're ready to go and where the ordinances are up and adopted, we can make it clear in whatever regulations you adopt on for the new scheme when that's set up. We hopefully got the rules and all that. It would be clear that the moratorium is repealed as of the effective date of this ordinance.
Okay.
So it would just be an immediate in effect.
The reverse of what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's good. But yeah, it's the same point, right?
Same, yeah. You can always shorten it later. Right.
Yeah.
Would there be any benefit to putting regulations in place in the interim as sort of, and using it as like a trial run, see what works, what doesn't work. So then come the start of 2025, we have a better plan on, okay, well, this didn't really work or this did, you know what I mean? Rather than just starting from scratch then, like, could we put something in place between now and then and just
and kind of feel it just out? Just to clarify, regulations for the low dose stuff,
yeah,
or
yes,
the high strength stuff? Because
just the low dose is what we're, yeah, talking about regulating.
Yeah, you're looking at 151, a statute that already exists, the one that was amended last year.
Yep.
So any scheme that you, any licensing scheme that you set up now or focus exclusively on that statute, the whole new law, yep, is not what you're looking at. That's at all.
But folks can, you know, smoke marijuana starting August 1st. Right. And so when we're talking about parks and things like that, like, that's a separate conversation, but like also one we should have as well, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I just want to make sure, like, whatever we're talking about, we're clear on what low dose or not selling the high strength stuff. But if people are smoking in public, what is kind of our.
Just to be crystal clear here, the high dose, the things that are allowed in the new, this current sessions law that will need to be licensed under OCM, those, they, you can't operate those businesses until OCM gets started.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. So there's no point in regulating it because it's already disallowed by the state. All right. So that's why we're only talking about low dose, because that's,
so that's illegal at this point. The high dose is illegal
to sell, no, as to sell, a business.
Okay, but not to.
But if you grow your, if you grow your own and go, right, smoke it in the park,
correct?
Right.
Are we not going to do anything about that for the next year and a half?
I hope we will do something.
Okay, and so I just want to make sure we talk about both of those things. I think they're separate conversations.
Yeah, so, I think we have moratorium, interim licensing. Let's call it that. Interim zoning. And then the public use
piece. Great.
So maybe I shouldn't say intro, but the point, temporary, maybe is better.
Right. So the thing we haven't talked about yet is the zoning. Are we ready for that conversation?
Yep. Hey, it ties into.
Why don't you go ahead and start that?
So I'll share the screen here in just a moment, but first, on the interim ordinance, because the zoning process is very long and requires a planning commission hearing. If we're going to do an interim licensing for the low dose products, is there any way we could have zoning like restrictions in the licensing and not even do it as a zoning amendment right now? That would just do it as an interim part of the licensing. For example, the licensing would say are only located on properties owned commercial that are, and I'll show you the buffer maps in this map in a second, but basically take the buffer language and put that in the licensing ordinance. So, okay.
Would that include the use piece?
In the parks? That's up
to you. You mean the public use
piece? Yes.
I think we put that in there as well.
It could all be one.
One interim ordinance.
As an interim ordinance, the same time. So the same language would be in a regular ordinance going through the two reading process for at least the licensing piece of it. And I guess I have to sit down and map out.
Sure.
When I was saying interim ordinance could put the regulations in place before the expiration of the August 16th, yes, date, I was thinking if you wanted to do licensing between now and OCM, that would be adopted as an interim ordinance, but at the same time, we'd be going through and adopting, because I would hate to go another year just with an interim ordinance.
Okay.
I think that, correct, my intent was just to cover another few weeks until you get the second.
Yeah, that makes sense. And
so with that in mind, the zoning, I think we've figured out the zoning, both for the full-blown cannabis when that becomes a thing. But if you wanted to adopt the zoning restrictions for the low-dose stuff in the interim ordinance and then follow it up with the full Planning Commission UDC amendment process, we can do this. So let me share the screen Now, you have a hard copy of this in front of you, but I think there'd be some benefit to me sort of walking you through it. So the map in front of you is what we think is the most restrictive version of what the state will allow us to do in terms of the buffering requirements around certain prescribing uses. So, and that's the 1,000 feet from any school and 500 feet from any park or recreation facility where children are present, or often present, typically present, I think is the word, any daycare, and any residential treatment facility. So if you, the map shows the yellow buffer is from the 1,000 feet from the schools, and the red is the 500 feet from those other uses. And this is the most restrictive way to interpret this, because we're measuring this from parcel boundary to parcel boundary. So for example, this big yellow parcel here, that's the Crystal Shopping Center. At the very west edge of it, there's a building that contains about 40 some thousand square feet of the school district's Welcome Center, which does have school programming there. That sort of taints that entire parcel. So we measured 1,000 feet from that parcel. So again, this is the most restrictive way to measure that distance, parcel to parcel, not door to door. Now, we don't know, and I'm guessing there will be some potential legal challenges somewhere about how do you measure the 500 feet? How do you measure the 1,000 feet? Because the statute, I don't think, Troy, says how you measure that.
It doesn't.
So this is the most restrictive way to do it. Even this most restrictive way, I've put a green asterisk. It's not a pot leaf. It's a green asterisk. I can have more than one reason for doing it. So we're on commercially zoned properties where these would be, that would be outside of the buffer zones. Now you can see, because of Becker Park, because of the daycare here, because of the schools, our core commercial area is prescribed from having, and this would be the edibles, the low dose stuff, right? Would not be able to have them. But all these green asterisks, including Holiday, Speedway, the little office building just north of the old Thriftway, the U-Haul up here on Broadway, the little barbershop over on the Bass Lake Road curve.
John, just real quick, I just want to be clear about something you just said. You said this would also restrict low dose, the low potency edibles, even when OCM gets involved? Because I thought you were saying that they don't really consider that something.
Well, and some of the regulations, some of the things that you can enact that affect the full test stuff, it doesn't apply to the low potency.
Would this be one of those? I think it was.
You don't mind it, if you keep going, I'll look for that where we're talking.
I think it's clear we can right now.
Right now.
A time, place, and manner thing. But permanently, that's a good question for Troy.
Yep.
When that OCM licensing comes into play, these would be the same buffers that would apply to the full-blown cannabis shops. So if you want to restrict the edibles now, even the most restrictive version and interpretation still allows a lot of potential locations for them. So especially in the area around Bass Lake Road or Douglas and Broadway, just because they're away from the prescribing uses, nothing at all at 42nd and Douglas because of the daycare in Brunswick Methodist Church. At 36th and Douglas, the Wine Thief and the little strip malls on either side of Douglas, south of there. Cub and that whole area is precluded because Robbinsdale Middle School is right here. And we did look at uses in adjacent cities to make sure we didn't miss anything. And then the only other areas in the south part of the city would be, there's a little office building here at Winnetka and 30th, and then the Speedway at 36th and Winnetka, and then Crystal Kitchen and Bath. It's kind of an odd combination. Who knows? People get the munchies. I don't know. Just north of the speed. So I say for edibles, this is really restrictive. But even so, there are places where people can open up and have businesses that sell these. So if you wanted to try out what will ultimately be the zoning rules for cannabis shops, try it out with edibles and see how it works. how do we measure it? Do we get pushback or challenges, legal or otherwise, about how we measure it? This you mentioned testing, right? Like, mm-hmm. let's try this. This is a good example of the kind of stuff that you sort of need to practice and learn from. And doing that with the edibles might be a good way to test it before we have to do it for the full-blown cannabis shops. So we can do this if you want to regulate edibles in the meantime.
Hi, John. So also included in that, when you say edibles, you're also talking about the beverages too. The
seltzers, yes.
The seltzers, yeah. Okay.
All that stuff under 151 that was from last session.
And so, you know, basically based on your map here, you almost pretty much give a monopoly to certain locations, right? I mean, well, like, you know, quite a few of the liquor stores that are only, that would be able to sell would be, I think would be like in the, right off of like West Broadway and Passlake Road. Yeah. Right.
Oh, that one.
Correct.
Closed.
The only, because we have a lot of daycare centers in commercial areas. So the only liquor store would be that's currently open that would be eligible would be not open, excuse me, that is, has a license but hasn't opened yet is Wine Thief. None of the other existing liquor licensees would be able to sell the edibles in Crystal.
Yeah.
They're all.
Yeah. So all those by West Broadway. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of struggling here with the regulation. What are we trying to solve? Does anybody have an answer to that?
The seltzers and the gummies, basically.
Well, the edibles. What are we solving though?
Oh, what are we solving? Well, that's a very good question. From a zoning perspective, if you view the edibles, the seltzers and the gummies as being sort of like, I don't know, like liquor, then maybe this zoning approach isn't the right one. And maybe your licensing time, place, and manner rules could simply say only in licensed liquor stores. Maybe that's an option.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Can I jump in?
Yeah, either one of you.
I mean, one thing that some communities are doing for the licensing in this, the edibles now, is to limit only, you're not eligible for THC edible license unless you are a tobacco shop or a liquor store.
Yes.
So that's one way you could limit. And what problem are we solving? Some are concerned about having this in every grocery store, gas station, coffee shop. So it'd just be limiting the number a little bit within your community.
So is it 151? What is the
151.72?
151 is the old code.
Yep.
And that's only in tobacco shops and liquor stores right now.
No, it can be anywhere.
Oh, it can be anywhere.
Yeah. Okay. And that's what I'm saying. You know, if you want to, you can try to create a subset of that.
So
saying you can only do it in these limited places.
So here we are. We're allowing it in a restricted area in Crystal, but I got flyers that come to my sober houses. They'll deliver from just about anywhere. It's not solving anything.
The licensing would prohibit
per se
prohibit delivery sales.
It would.
Yeah. Or the interim one does. Vending machine sales, free samples, you know, it really starts to try to limit some of that.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, for me, I think one of the things that concerns me about where the law is right now, and I think a place that the city can kind of fill some of the gaps is in terms of how products are marketed, how products are kind of advertised to certain groups and things like that. It's very much like where tobacco was in the 80s and 90s in terms of being promoted towards younger groups. And I know that when I went to RMS, a lot of people from that middle school went to that tobacco shop right next to Cub and would buy things there. And that's something where it's just, I wouldn't be comfortable with that. So that's where I see, you know, maybe not all the daycares. I mean, it's like a toddler preschooler. I don't really know, but at least some of those schools and park areas, for me, it is a concern that I don't think is addressed in the state statute.
Okay, so it's kind of youth access is what we're.
Yeah, that about. For me, that's.
Okay. Anybody else?
Do we know how many that are actually selling it right now that would be affected if we implemented this that would no longer be able to sell in the city of Crystal?
Well, right now, nobody is supposed to be.
Well, right, but we know.
Do we know?
No.
Oh, we don't know for sure.
There's some people that we know are selling Delta 8 because they're advertising it, but
that's
totally different.
Yeah.
The city wasn't aware of any before the moratorium was imposed. That would have been non-conforming, that would have been able to maintain it. So if anybody started after the moratorium, that they wouldn't, they shouldn't be.
Okay. Does anybody have then any feelings about the most restrictive to the less restrictive?
In terms of like where to measure the boundary from?
Yeah. Do you like the idea of the 500 feet from the parcel?
I think the example you brought up of, you know, it's on the school use is on that far west side of the Crystal Shopping Mall, but you're counting it from, you know, the Taco Bell.
Sure.
I don't feel like that's totally legitimate, I think. But at the same time, well, then would you have to measure from the structure everywhere else then, right? Would you have to be measuring from where the actual structure of the school building is versus the sidewalks and, you know?
Mr. Mayor, so, I mean, you could, of course, do it different. Instead of 500 or 1,000 feet for the schools, you could do 500. You could not, because you can do something less restrictive than what's shown on this map. So you could eliminate the daycares from the prescribed uses. And that would open up a number of places. You could leave on schools, but maybe reduce it to 500 feet to match parks, which can be as restrictive as 500 feet. And the residential treatment facilities. We only have one of those, but it's in a kind of a critical location. I think Stephanie would agree that we probably don't want any opening up down along Broadway towards the Steve-O's area there. Yeah. So if you got rid of the daycare restriction completely, and we could redo this map with getting rid of that and reducing the school to 500, but still measuring from the parcel lines, the map would open up more current commercial property. I don't know exactly how many, but it would have a significant impact on allowing the edibles to be sold in more places if this map is too restrictive. But on the other hand, if the main issue with the edibles is underage consumption, whether or not we're able to do compliance checks for the age, if you limit it to alcohol and tobacco licensees, at least they know how to check IDs, right? They have a system already to do that. Even if we're not able to enforce it, at least they should be able to do it.
Well, since we enforce tobacco and alcohol, we don't have to tell them we don't have the personnel to enforce it. They could just...
Right.
They would just assume that
we're coming.
No, we're going to enforce it. I want to make that abundantly clear. We are going to enforce it. It's okay. I was like, whoa. we're going to enforce it. What I'm saying is that we still need to educate ourselves on everything because it's so new. And so that's just going to take a little bit of time.
I understand.
Yeah.
And if I misspoke, I apologize.
That's okay.
But what's wrong with not just letting them assume that they're subject to compliance checks, whether or not that happens or not, because they know there are compliance checks with selling alcohol and tobacco.
Yeah.
And the last thing they want to do is lose out on this revenue stream. So, so they will follow.
I'm thinking, you know, if they're following it for alcohol and tobacco, they're following it for cannabis.
Yeah.
So we're talking about limiting it to just...
I don't know.
Liquor
tobacco
and instead of the map.
Right.
But long term, we can't do that.
Correct.
So that would be a training wheel that would fall off.
And it sure would.
Back on. Mm. This is something that we can carry through to OCM.
Correct.
Potentially.
Well, it's in the statute. We definitely can.
Well, there's some argument because these lower potency, there's some argument, and we don't know how this is going to play out. There's some argument because the state isn't regulating them, then maybe we can put some limitations on it, like only tobacco only.
Right, but after the state starts regulating it, then
there's an argument we still could.
Oh.
I'm not saying take that to the bank, but there's some leeway. There's some argument to be said that we can keep doing that because why not? They're clearly, we can't license them. We can't say none in the city unless this subset of these lower potency, there's some question there about maybe we have some ability.
Okay. Did you, were you able to find if,
no? No, I think the answer is, because it talks about cannabis business, and then it talks about cannabis retailers, and it's included in one definition of cannabis retailer in a different stat. So I'll have to follow up with you on that.
One of the, the article did a really good job that you sent, did a really good job of explaining, or at least noting, how poorly written and complicated the legislation was. It's kind of a hodgepodge, kind of a handout to multiple interests to allow it to pass. There is an expectation, or at least a discussion, that they're going to have to go back next legislative session to fix it, because there's contradictory things, there's unclear terms. It's a mess, which we get to try to administer. So we could do something and they could change it all again next year anyways. But it has been a struggle for everybody on every side and entity to understand with certainty, or any certainty or clarity, what can be done. We think everybody's kind of getting there, but we don't have the rules yet. I mean, there's a lot of information we don't know, and that's potentially going to change or come out later. So that's part of the reason why we don't have a lot of those answers.
Right. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. So if we go forward with tobacco and liquor stores being able to sell this product, so I'm assuming that there's a tax that's being paid on these products, mm-hmm. and that would go to the state, right?
10%
of the. And then that's the money that would be, basically possibly end up as a some type of state aid to us, correct?
Mm-hmm. 20% of that 10% tax goes to local government.
But based on the formula of it. So that money doesn't come until after OCM is set up.
Correct. Yeah. Which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be an annual revenue thing regardless. So, I mean, whether it takes them a year or 5 years to get set up, eventually, that'll be a.
I have a question about non-conforming use. So let's say we go the route where we just say tobacco and liquor stores can sell it. I'm talking about low potency stuff, right? For that interim, but we don't do the buffers, the zoning buffers. But then OCM gets involved and they say, "All right, we're licensing this. We're superseding you. You can't do that." But now we have liquor stores and tobacco shops that had been selling it, and so they're legal non-conforming, and we can't regulate. Somebody help.
My guess is that if it's a zoning, if then in response to that, you adopt a zoning restriction that puts what's on this map into effect, then they would, unless you can do it through licensing somehow instead of zoning, and we won't be licensing them at that point. So we're stuck with zoning. That's kind of the only power you have. And presumably, yes, they would be a legal non-conforming use. I don't know how you would argue otherwise if it's a zoning, purely a zoning power that you're exercising.
Okay.
So when it comes to this, I'm more inclined to reeling back rather than reeling forward with regulations. If we're going to come in and regulate, not that I'm a pro-regulatory guy, I'm not. But to allow a business to start because we've have less regulations, and then to come in later and say, no, you can't because we're going more restrictive, doesn't fit well in my paradigm. It just doesn't. So I'm thinking a little bit more of, more restrictive, maybe even beyond my comfort zone, just to start. And then we see what happens. When the OC gets established. And they and honestly, there's enough contradictions in this where they're going to have to make some clarifications, and it will dictate whether we have to pull back or not. And then we can have that experience with what we have. So I can guarantee you there's some shops, some smoke shops in here that are going to be pissed. And that's okay. We have to maneuver through it. Go ahead, John.
So are you advocating for seeing this map with the daycares removed?
Yeah, I mean, that goes to my question in terms of what are we trying to solve? I don't think we're worried about daycare people going in. Mm-hmm. I think that's okay to remove them, just in my world.
So you're saying not to do anything at all?
No, the opposite.
Oh, okay.
I mean, what are we trying to solve? We're trying to solve the youth issue. Right. I think I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And the youth issue doesn't really fit daycares. Daycares are not sending their kids across the street with a $5 bill and say, get some candy. They're just not. You know what I mean?
More than $5.
Yeah. I'm glad I don't know.
Okay.
But you understand my point.
Yeah.
Nope.
No, I agree with your point of start big and go back.
Yeah. At first, I just thought this map was too restrictive, but I see the importance of it, especially with some of the schools, to make sure that the low dose places are, you know, there's certain areas where they can't be selling that are within, you know, certain perimeter. But I think I see this as like a temporary solution, because once we know more with OCM and we maybe are only having one or two shops in the city that, you know, based on my experiences in Colorado, Michigan, like cannabis stores there, it's like highly regulated, and it seems a lot more regulated, I guess, than maybe just a gas station or a liquor store selling it. So I think this map is good for temporary, but I think we could, you know, rein it back once we have a little more idea in a year or two or five or whatever.
Yeah. You know, and when it comes to schools and youth, you know, there have been accidental cases where the kids have eaten them and they've eaten them at school, you know, so there's going to be some incidental stuff, but to make it accessible, it is, I think the place where we can stand, at least for the moment.
So no Joe Coop, no Joe Camel.
Right.
May I ask a question then on the, for what we would work on? It sounds like you do want to do the buffer map versus the tobacco and alcohol licensees approach. Do this instead of that.
Could do both.
Yeah, I'm actually,
you want to do both?
I think I'm still in favor of the tobacco and liquor shops, and to Forrest's point, if they're legal non-conforming, that's fine with me actually, because I think the infrastructure of those shops, you know, lends itself to good ID and practices and compliance checks and things like that. So I think I still lean that way. Not that we're taking a vote or anything, but.
Well, we're directing staff to do work, so we need to have some
pick one or the other.
Is it right? One or the other?
It doesn't have to be one.
You could do both. And you could the license, this temporary license for the edibles. You could say that you will only issue licenses for businesses that are also licensed as tobacco or alcohol retailers. And in the zoning code, you could adopt this map and say, and they also can't be located within X feet of these uses. And I heard taking out the daycares, because that'll loosen the map up a little bit. What about the 1,000 feet from schools? Do you want to drop that to 500, the same as parks?
I personally don't.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Thousand.
You can always drop it down mm-hmm. later too.
Yeah, we're not going to increase.
The etch a sketch is going to be shaken up. Yeah, you know, because we have to figure out a lot of stuff. So things will change. There's no doubt.
Yes.
So it's only liquor stores and tobacco shops, but only those that are outside of the 1,000-foot boundaries of schools.
And 500 from parks and residential treatment.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically this map as well, with that change, the daycare is going away. And then also not a zoning restriction, but the licensing restriction would say they have to be licensed for alcohol or tobacco sales.
So wait a minute. So if I want to get high in my backyard, I can't because the park's there.
This is for
retail sales.
The property, Mayor, you can smoke it if you got it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're wrong.
I can't. Fire it up. I'll let my wife.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Troy, I just want to make sure I'm understanding for my own education. If the council adopts this, you know, when we do compliance checks, it's only for age, right?
Yes.
Right. But am I hearing correctly that let's say we are doing compliance checks for that and we go into a liquor store to do a compliance check and we see them selling. I mean, are you saying you're going to allow liquor stores to sell this? I just want to make sure I'm understanding, because if you're not, then what is, because our role right now is just under 21 or over 21 consumption, right? For under 21, excuse me, for alcohol, right? And so you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, so it'd be the same. So if I'm hearing the council's direction, allow the lower potency, THC edibles to be sold in liquor stores and tobacco shops. But of course, that it's only 21 or older. So you could still send in the underage person to buy, I would like to buy this cannabis or this THC.
Yep.
And then if they sell it, then they're in trouble.
Yeah.
But that's not your question, is it?
No. I understand. I just want to make sure I'm understanding, because if you went the route where you're saying they can't sell it, then who would be in charge of that? Do you know what I'm saying?
That'd be a code violation.
Right.
Right.
Because because there's a bunch of things liquor stores can't sell right now anyways. Like you don't currently enforce.
But you're saying if this regulation goes in place and Holiday starts selling them on the counter, what?
Correct. Because right now, we don't, I just want to make that clear. Mm-hmm. You know, we meaning the police department we don't go into businesses and start doing, you know, that would be.
We would use administrative enforcement.
Right. That would be that.
So we'd send a notice, cease immediately, and you get 10 days. And after 10 days, we start writing citations every week. Just like we do for regular code violations.
My Holiday example was a bad example because they sell tobacco.
But I just want to make sure you all know who would be the enforcer of what.
Yeah, you know, in the case where you go into a liquor store and you know they're close to a school and you see it there, you're going to do nothing.
We would
maybe tell.
You would tell that's community development. Yeah,
it would be a,
but I mean, as far as your action is
correct.
Because they'd be in violation of two different things, neither of which are your responsibility. One of them is we wouldn't have issued them a license because they were not in compliance with the map or the buffers. And number two, they'd be in violation of the zoning restriction because they're not in compliance. So it'd be actually two different violations. They're selling it without the city license, and they're violating the zoning code.
Right.
So, but neither of those would be a police department matter.
Right.
Yeah,
thank you, John.
All right, so I've brought this up a couple times. In this interim ordinance, can we do anything with Delta 8? Just going to ask.
Isn't it already illegal?
That's a good question.
What is Delta 8? Is it a strain? Is it a
lower potency?
Do you smoke it? Do you?
It doesn't necessarily need to be lower potency. It just means that it's based off of a hemp strain versus a
marijuana strain.
Delta 9.
Yeah. What Delta 8?
Because Delta 9 is the
higher
cannabis. And Delta 8 is hemp derived.
So it can both have edible, gummy, hemp. Delta 8 can be any of those as well.
Yeah. And like right on 42nd there's a tobacco shop with a huge marijuana leaf in the window that closed. It says Delta 8 on it. And I was just like, and you know, just in terms of if we're trying to make sure everything is in the same column.
So you want to lump that all
into... It would make, in my mind, it would, if we're trying to reach goals with Delta 9, and the whole reason Delta 8's a thing is because of a federal loophole, right? It's not that it doesn't get you high. It does. It's just that it's derived from a different strain of the same plant that's federally.
And if we're going down the federal law, federally, marijuana is still illegal. So this is why this is all just fun for law enforcement.
Yeah. But Delta 8 is in the gray area,
yeah,
federally. But I feel like they closed, they tried to close that with the state, but I could be wrong. Yeah. Can we close it?
I think in the short term,
yes. Yes, yes. Okay. I feel like we should.
I agree.
So if a business comes in and says they want to start a liquor store, tobacco is want to start selling the low dose stuff, are they going to be informed that at some point they're not going to be able to sell that? Right? When the OCM gets up and running, right? And people can open a marijuana dispensary. I thought that they were no longer being able to sell the low dose stuff, or do I understand that wrong?
That's separate.
Okay. Well, okay.
Yeah.
But Jim, what you had said is some businesses are going to be really angry.
Well, because they want to sell it, but they won't. They will want.
I guess my concern is we're not going to give businesses the ability to sell it and then take it away from them at some point.
We're not doing that. That's why we're doing it now, and we can
tear down later.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's a good point. And
it is.
The more I think about this, I think part of the confusion, the reason I get kind of locked up on this is because I think the lower potency edibles are not considered part of a cannabis business as defined, but they still have to get a license. So that's where it gets confusing. So it's kind of the one-off where they still have to get a license, but they're not subject to all the cannabis business regulations. That's why the concern, well, the potential is, like we said earlier, that you could have these gas stations and all over the place and one cannabis store in the entire city, because it's a whole different thing that's subject to your limitations and hours and that sort of thing. But this lower potency stuff is not. That's why I'm saying there's some argument that maybe we can put some limits down here as long as we're not flat out prohibiting them, because they're not regulated. Like, I mean, the legislation really reflects, I guess, if you think of fireworks, I mean, lower potency is kind of the sparkler of fireworks. You know, it's like, sure, you could get hurt with it, but yeah, we're going to let it go and not really regulate it. But if you want to take out the big boomers, then we're going to regulate that. So, I mean, it seems like the sparkler of marijuana ain't no big deal, and they can allow it in all kinds of places with a license, but it's not subject to the same regulatory scheme as cannabis businesses are. So I think that'll be interesting in my mind. A good question. Maybe the rules will address it. Maybe they won't. I think some cities will take a run. I mean, some cities are really trying to figure out how to stop this to the greatest extent possible. So there'll be someone will challenge it, and someone will take a run at, you know, stricter regulations, and we'll see what happens.
All right.
If we license it before the OCM, does that money go to the city?
Yes.
Okay. So just to
what it requires to maintain the license.
Yeah, all licensing fees are supposed to be reflective of the administration cost of managing it.
Then when the OCM comes about and we can only register, do we get a kickback for that?
You get registration.
Registration
fee. Yeah. Oh, okay. Plus the 20%.
You do get you get registration fees. You can't impose a tax. I've been asked that already. They expressly says you cannot tax it locally.
But you can get a registration fee,
but there's limits on. It's limited by how much the state charges for the license. So you can go up to this amount, but only half of whichever's lower. You know.
And we could do registration fees and renewal fees?
Yes.
So we could do two separate
things. The first year registration fee covers the first renewal as well. They wrote it that way. I don't know.
Good thing they made something clear.
Yeah. Right. You know, like I said, it's funny. I mean, in my 30 plus years of doing this stuff, you know, rarely do you get 320 pages of just brand new law. You know, we get little tweaks and things, and sometimes even that's hard to figure out, but a whole new area of law, it's like, holy cow. So this is really, at some point, we'll get a good grasp on this, but frankly, we're not there yet.
Okay. Steph, have a
good I sit there and when I hear Troy say 320 pages of a brand new law, also a law where they didn't create anything to assist law enforcement with people driving under the influence, right?
Right.
And yeah. And so it's super frustrating. Again, like I don't care that this is a new law or that it's legal, right? Because all we do is enforce law. So it doesn't matter to me what the laws are, but if you're going to enact a new one, then you better do it right. You know, and you better. So it's just a little frustrating, but you all know that.
All right. Direction? Do you guys have any question on direction?
I think it's pretty clear as far as what the zoning changes, what the zoning would look like. And Dan and I have already talked about how to administer it. So I think we'll talk at a staff level with Troy and figure out, because there'd be two separate, there'd be this licensing piece for the low dose as well as a zoning amendment. And you would write up interim ordinances to cover us until we go through the normal process for those
things. Right. And so to piggyback off that, so I'm hearing yes to the moratorium, which is the cannabis business piece in the future. The licensing, yes, short-term licensing, limited to liquor and tobacco. Some of the setback pieces will be incorporated in that. The public use, yes.
That was my other question.
Limit on public use?
But to what extent? Oh, definitely.
Like, are we going to do sidewalks and streets or just parks or...
I think you can't smoke in public, right? You can't drink in public, right?
Well, correct.
I mean, you can't have a beer in the park or walking on the sidewalk.
But we're just talking about, are we talking about, are regulating the businesses? I mean, the gummies? And are we talking about actually smoking a weed?
This is like August 1st when you can legally possess it, the use of it.
Well,
I think if we mirrored alcohol, it would be easier to
probably understand. Administer.
Yeah. And administer as well. Yeah.
I'd like you to add cigarettes to that too as well. So
yeah, can we do that?
They stink.
Yeah. They do stink. And cigars while we're at it.
Yes.
I don't agree with that.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you all. I know that's a lot. And I wish I had more absolute answers for you. Sorry. They'll come. We work more on.
All right. Thank you all for your comments, for your engagement. All right. We're adjourned. Thanks.